Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, April 12th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is host of PS I Love You XOXO, a.k.a. host of WWE's This Is Awesome, a.k.a. WWE Superstar, Greg Miller.
There's something so unsettling about just one fog machine going off.
Oh, is that what happened?
I mean? Yeah.
No.
It looks like something's on fire, I feel
Oh, no. How's it going this morning?
It's great. How's it going with you?
Going pretty good. I like the shirt.
I like your shirt.
I appreciate it. There's a story behind this one, actually.
Yeah?
This morning, it didn't even start this morning. It started this last weekend where I've been watching a lot of Ted Lasso.
Sure.
In this new season. Shout out Ted Lasso.
If you're an audio listener, he's wearing the Tottenham Hotspurs shirt.
No, it's West Ham.
The jersey.
West Ham. Mike knows.
The Hotspurs are spurting all over this jersey.
But as I've been watching Ted Lasso this new season, one of the major teams this season is West Ham. They're kind of like the antagonist team this season. And they keep coming up. And as they've been coming up, I've been like, West Ham. That team sounds familiar. Like, why do I know West Ham? And this morning, as I was going through my closet, I saw this jersey, and I'm like, fuck, I have a West Ham jersey.
Is this the Jordan Midler one?
This is the one that Jordan Midler and Andy Robinson and the crew at VGC gifted me. And so out of that, I was like, I got to rock this today.
Understand?
I got to show my West Ham love. And I got to be the villain.
Sure.
You know?
I'm just wearing a New Day podcast shirt from WWE.
That's for their podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fresh.
Yeah.
I feel like we could use like an album cover shirt. Get me and Mike.
From your voice to Andy's ears, you know what I mean?
Andy, if you're listening to this, I need a shirt.
Andy is not awake yet. All right.
But he listens to the show.
No.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
Do you listen to the shows you're
no.
not?
Yeah. No, not at all.
Nothing kills being a Kinda Funny fan faster than working at Kinda Funny.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're like, the last thing I need to do is listen to more people.
It's like, oh, yeah, I listen to Greg Miller and Tim Geddes and all these people all day. I'm going to go home and listen to more Kinda Funny podcasts.
And that's what I respect about you, Greg. You do listen to something you're not on.
I do. I want to see what you all are up to. Sometimes I listen in on conversations, even when they don't think I'm listening. Yesterday, Kevin was talking shit about me. Did I interject? No. I wanted to hear it all the way out, and I did.
Let it ride.
Yeah. Wow. But he'll be getting a talking to.
Oh, no. I heard that's your favorite podcast.
Who gave
I listen
who
every
gave
single
Mike
week.
A mic? You know what I mean?
You got to like let me know when you're about
to
speak.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's Mike listening. I'm out on the far side. I wanted to chime in and say I listen to the Kinda Funny Next Gen podcast every time it comes out.
Not enough people, I feel like, know about the Kinda Funny Next Gen podcast.
Patreon.com/Kinda Funny. I listen to it.
Particularly one of our best shows. Oh, you listen to it? What are your thoughts on it?
I love it. My favorite is still when Barrett had to explain like how sick he was after the Halloween party and how he fell asleep. And like, I think that was one where I came in and I was like, listen, it was a great podcast, but you got to remember people listen. So like, you were just like, I was like this and this was like that. And like watching it, you see him laying on the couch. But as a listener, I was like, I don't know what he's doing.
What is he doing? What's going on here? I got a banger Next Gen podcast for you guys for the next one. Let me tell you. But that next
is it like
podcast,
the 19th Create a Burger check in?
No, sadly. Well, actually, there probably will be because I don't know if Create a Burger is still alive. They've been closed for the last month.
Wow. Oh, that's pretty
good. And like the thing, well, it says temporarily closed on the website. When you go back, when you go like visit the physical store, because I've done this now, it says like, oh yeah, we're under maintenance, like we're fixing our robots or whatever. And I'm like, you guys are just
what
closed.
Is for people who don't know, what is Create a Burger?
Create a Burger is this burger joint where the burgers are created by robots. Right, so you order your burger. They have like a robot that's like inside of a box that me and Roger and Bear are still kind of skeptical about. Because you don't actually see the robot make the burger.
I think it's just a dude inside that box making the burger.
I think it's just a conveyor belt, right? Like, I don't think there's an actual robot. So maybe they're closed because they're actually building the actual robots. But the whole idea of this place is that because they have they've removed the human element out of it, the burgers are cheaper, but they're still high quality.
Yeah. Because
they don't have to pay anybody.
Sure.
They have cashiers. No. They have two people working there.
For how long?
Not that long.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, no. What if that's what they're making right now?
The other week, I ordered Create a Burger on the app because I just happened to open up the app and I'm like, oh, okay, it's letting me order. Let me order Create a Burger.
Sure.
I ordered it. I go to pick it up and the front door has a sign on it that says closed for a meeting. And I'm like,
the robots are meeting?
Yeah, I'm like, that's not right. And so I look inside the joint. There's people in there. And so I go inside because ordered my burger.
You should read the fucking sign. There's a meeting.
And as soon as I open the door, I just stare from everybody. They're like, what are you doing in here? Like, what's up? And I'm like, hey, I ordered a burger. Like, it went through on the app.
I've been charged.
I just want a burger or a refund.
Tell the fucking robot to get to work.
Yeah. And so, like, kudos to them. They gave me the refund. They're like, oh, shit, my bad. Like,
kudos to them. Like, what do you mean? That's like, they legally have to.
The thing is, when I walked in,
they're like, you got, son. Get out.
The tension was thick. There was something happening in there where, I don't know if somebody was getting a talking to or they're like, hey, our business is not working. Like, they're having some kind of meeting.
The robots became sentient
and now it's becoming a problem. There was something happening in that meeting where it was tense. And the last thing you wanted to see was me walking in there looking for my barbecue burger with bacon on it. And so they gave me a refund.
Is this?
And I got Panda Express.
I know you talk about it a lot, but like, it's not. Is it local or is it a chain or what's up with the Korean
burger? There's a few spots, but I don't know if it's just in the Bay Area or if there's other ones outside of the Bay Area.
Okay.
But I know there are at least a couple in the Bay Area.
When I was a kid, we went to Comic Book Wednesday, of course. Dad picked me up from school. We went to pick up my books at Graham Cracker Comics. And this is Glen Ellen. This is the Glen Ellen location on Roosevelt Road. And when we got in there, like, you could tell something, like, as we approached, like, something was going on. Mm-hmm. And, like, we opened the door, and, like, our normal cashier was standing behind the counter, like, in the most awkward, like, pose of all time. And there was these other dudes in suits. And we opened the thing, and the dude spun around and had an FBI badge on. I was like, what are you doing? And it was, like, they were raiding them for, like, tax evasion or something. Like, I walked in to buy my comics in the middle of this FBI raid. I was like, all right.
She was just standing there sweating, being like, ah, shit. Here we go. Greg.
Yeah.
Enough about that. Let's talk about today's news stories, which include Redfall launching with no performance mode, a new PlayStation State of Play, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and a weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, a new Kind of Funny Gamescast is up right now talking about our games of the year so far. You can catch that over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Google Maps, Create a Burger, temporarily closed, confirmed by the business 7 weeks ago.
Dude,
you don't come back from it.
Every day I still log on and check. I'm like, maybe it's open today.
It looks like they are at only this one location, and I could be wrong, but it's like their website's all about San Francisco, and I can only find this one. So I have Instagram.
Is that the Daly City one?
Yeah, Instagram DM'd them about the Daly City location. We'll see what they say. All right,
I'm so scared about the response.
They don't use Instagram much, it looks like. September 2022 was their last post. September 2022.
The last time they were open.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, God.
God. This Friday, April 14th, Kind of Funny is teaming up with our friends over at Hangtime for an awesome stream where we'll channel our inner Dom Toretto and race across the states in the Crew 2. Greg, Andy, and Tim will have to go as fast as possible to win this race, but your Twitch subs and YouTube Super Chats will have them hit pit stops with fun challenges along the way, like how many pizza rolls can Andy eat in under a minute, or is Tim smarter than a fifth grader? Come support this Friday afternoon stream to find out and enjoy the open road with us. And then we're trying something new with YouTube Super Chats on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Only on YouTube in the live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post show where Snowbike Mike comes in to talk to us, KFGD hosts, all about your Super Chat questions. Stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with me, Mike, and Greg before the next Kinda Funny stream starts. And then over on Patreon, there is a new episode of Kinda Feudy, entirely themed around movies. That's right, we're getting feudy at the movies. Greg has a thumbs down, is because he only knows
show
about video games.
Great. This show used to be awesome.
But Tim has the glowing things to say about the show, about this current season. I don't know, man. Maybe you should watch more movies. Figure out what Jim Carrey is up to.
I watched Love is Blind.
I really don't want to watch Eternal Sunshine. Everybody is saying that I should watch Eternal Sunshine.
That it is extremely your shit.
Yeah, that is what Tim said, too. I want to know what about it makes it my shit.
It's depressing.
It's depressing and artsy.
Okay.
It's depressing and sad.
I do love depressing sad shit. So,
and
yeah.
Jim Carrey, great in it. One of my favorite movies.
I mean, Jim Carrey is always great, though. Jim Carrey is always great. Is it as good as The Truman Show, though? It's The Truman Show, one of my favorite movies.
I would say it's if it's not at the same level as The Truman Show, it's almost quite there.
All right. So. Ooh, that's what I want to hear, Barrett. Yeah. That's what I want to hear. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, a sad one, like that one smoke machine. Redfall is launching without a performance mode. This comes directly from at Play Redfall on Twitter. They tweeted out this morning, Redfall is launching on Xbox consoles with quality mode only. Xbox Series X, 4K, 30fps, and then on Xbox Series S, 1440p, 30fps. 60fps performance mode will be added via game update at a later date. Greg Miller.
Yeah.
You ask, what year is it? How do you feel about this?
This one sucks and is sad. I put up, I quote tweeted it and put up the,
poll.
No, it was the gif of, him saying shame from Hot Fuzz. Jesus, yeah. I was so hung up on Sean, the shame gif, right? And it was, so many people were like, oh yeah, like PlayStation's got it better. Yeah. And I'm like, no, you dense motherfuckers. I'm excited for Redfall. I've been stoked for Redfall since we first saw it. Arcane Vampire Hunter. Mike went and saw it and played it. He came back and he's like, it's basically Far Cry with vampires. I'm like, be still my heart. I love Far Cry. You know that. But it's this thing of like the always online thing. Oh, we'll take it out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just Far Cry. Yeah, that's fine. It's cool. Whatever. It's like, I feel like Redfall keeps stepping on rakes. You know what I mean? Like, can we just get this game out and see if it's fun for everybody and how much it's going to go? And, you know, there's so much wrapped up in this decision, of course, of like Xbox first party releases few and far between, right? At least bigger ones, you know, larger ones. Don't get me wrong, Pentiment and stuff like that are happening and Grounded and yada, yada, yada. But like ones that are like have some juice behind them. And Redfall seems to be losing the juice the closer it gets. When I do want it to come out and I do want it to be awesome and I do want us to play for multiple weeks on stream and at night and all this different stuff and have a lot of fun with it. And I want to go do my, you know, kill my vampires and then come join Mikey's game and do all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I want to be excited, and it sucks that at every turn there's some reason not to be excited for Redfall, which is dampening my expectations.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I was way more excited at the initial reveal of Redfall when you got that reveal trailer showing off the vampire, showing off the different characters you can play as. And, you know, you compare it to Far Cry. The thing I've always compared it to in my head was Borderlands, just in terms of having these different classes, having this open world that you can hang out around, taking down waves of enemies, having the different kinds of weapons. So much of that appeals to me, and I think one of the big factors that appeals to me as well is the fact that it's Arcane, right? This is one of the first big first-party titles coming from Bethesda as a publisher under Microsoft. Oh man, that's going to be big for the platform. And for me, Redfall is one that has wavered in terms of the marketing and excitement. Again, that first trailer was so dope, was so good, but the trailers that have come after that, some of them have been like, okay, I can see the vision. Okay, I see what you're doing here. This seems cool. And other ones have been like, all right, cool. Like, it seems like more of the same game here. Like, what's going to be special about this thing? What's going to stick out about this thing? For me, one of the things that has me a bit worried right now is the release date in terms of what's coming out around it. Because currently, Redfall is coming out. I'm looking at Blessing Super Fun Game release calendar. Right? May 2nd. For Game Pass, right? Which is huge. But you're talking about earlier that week or maybe a week before, you're talking about Star Wars Jedi Survivor coming out April 28th. Right, so that's coming mere days after that, and then only about 10 days before The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. So you're being squished between two of the highest anticipated games of the year right there, right, as Redfall. So that's been one of the things where I'm like, okay, I'm going to want to play this, right, but how much time am I going to even have to play this thing? You have that, and then you've had, the always online thing, and with this latest update, right, them not being able to launch with performance mode on consoles, that's such a bummer to me, because I think we're at the point in the generation, and maybe this is a poll I have to put out. I think I saw Jeff Grubb maybe run this poll, so maybe that's one that should pull up. But how many of us play in performance mode versus fidelity mode? Sure. I'm a performance mode dude. 100%. I love performance 100%. Mode. It is. I'd never want to go back, honestly, to fidelity mode.
You know, for years, when I would talk shit about PC gamers, they would always throw this back in my face, that they play their games at 60 at the time, right? Mm-hmm. I play my games at 30 on a console. And my argument was always, I don't fucking care and I don't want to know. I don't want to know what I'm missing. So, because this looks great, 30 looks great to me. And then as soon as, you know, PlayStation 4 Pro and all these other things started offering it, you jump over to 60 and I cannot go back. I cannot, you know what I mean? And so my hope is here when I start this up, since I won't be able to toggle between them, it'll just be what it is and I won't think too much about it. But it is like just a bummer. Like, it won't ruin, if the game's fun, the game's going to be fun. If if the systems are cool and the progression's neat and it's easy to play with other people, it'll all be fine for me. But for a game that, like, it just seems like has not even bad, but disappointing news in this lead up to launch every time, I just want them to get it out already and be done with it and, like, and show that the game is fun and it's going to overcome and blah, blah, blah. But then it is this conversation of, every response I saw to this tweet was either a joke or people just delay it, just delay the game. And I have to agree that, like, if it is, it, like, we're trying to figure out how to pull the online only or the online connectivity requirement out, they've said already, right? But it won't be ready for launch. We're going to be putting in performance mode, but it won't be ready at launch. At this point, just push launch. Like you're saying on top of it too, it's just like, it's not a good time to come out. If you're not done with Jedi Fallen Order, or you're doing a replay of Zelda, or you're getting, I mean, like, it's going to be hard to put together a group. I think it's going to be hard for it. Unless the game is absolutely stunning, a blast like you've never played it, I think it's going to be really hard for it to get traction and keep it.
Yeah,
maybe for that, it'll have a week there before Zelda after, but yeah.
But, like, this reminds me so much of the Titanfall 2 situation, where Titanfall 2 came out squished between Battlefield 1 and a Call of Duty, and one of those things had to get you know, overtaken by the others in terms of conversation. And when you're talking about just press coverage, press is going to be all over Star Wars. Press is going to be all over Zelda, because Zelda is such a big game. And by that point, right, you're talking about 10 days before Zelda comes out. I would think that reviewers maybe possibly have codes for Zelda by then, right? And so, like, how much bandwidth do people have when you are putting out videos and content that are, all right, 10 days until Zelda, let's count down the best Zelda games, or let's talk about all the things that Breath of the Wild did in our anticipation. Redfall right now for the release date is going to be caught within that, right? With not waves of great press happening. I think it'd be another thing too if, like, the marketing was off the chain and this did have the juice of something like Star Wars. But I think it being Redfall kind of puts it in this weird place of, there's excitement for it because it's a Xbox first party title and because it's a interesting looking shooter. But outside of that, like, it doesn't really have the IP power. It doesn't really have the showcase power. It doesn't have, like, a lot pushing it above to where you would see a Star Wars or Zelda get hyped.
It feels like another, and you know, Mike, I want you to come out here. You got the stick mic or whatever, because, of course, we're PS I Love You XOXO, so, of course, it's easy to throw us out, baby with the bathwater. It feels like another mid game for Xbox. It isn't a AAA. It isn't a Halo. It isn't a Gears. It isn't this gigantic, hey, this is going to be the next big thing and take the world by storm. That's how I feel. I say that as I think, honestly, is maybe the person who's most excited to play it in the office, because I didn't get to go to the preview and do all stuff. Like, I'm in. I want to stake people. I want to have cool shit going on. Am I wrong? Are we off target? Are we saying stupid things that the X-Cast wouldn't agree with? No, Mike, the host of the Kind of Funny X-Cast.
I've been feeling mid this whole time on this one, and I think a lot of people have shot me the look like, that's crazy, Mike, because, of course, on the Xbox side of things, when we look at the first-party content output, right, this year was supposed to be the year. We continue to say,
line up
this
the dominoes.
Is the year, and we continue to just put that washer load on a big old oof situation. We step on rakes and we continue to have problems here, right? And, like, this year never seems like it's the year. And then Redfall here, I thought it was going to be mid, Greggy, and I smile because you bring up those other titles and it's like a lot of passion projects. 2022 was a year of passion projects.
Pentiment.
Where are Pentiment, Grounded? Where are our big AAA first party content launches? We just don't seem to get them. And then you go to Redfall, and this is a big problem. This is disappointing. The question is true. You've already had a long delay. We're already here now looking at a release with a lot of games all around it. Do you just delay again? Can you delay again? We talked about it at last year. Hey, all these games will be released in the next 12 months. Well, Starfield got delayed. Forza doesn't even have a release date. I mean, we're already about to hit, you know, it's April. We're going to be in May soon enough. Might as well delay this one and let's just keep it moving.
Do you think they're dealing with a calendar problem? Because if you delay Redfall now, you're just getting it closer to Starfield, right? And then we don't know where Forza Motorsport lands. Do they want to avoid putting out Forza Motorsport and Redfall in the same month if, say, this gets delayed to July so they can iron out these things?
Not at all. We already have – these games are all – we're going to start stacking up on top of each other already, bless. I don't think it's a calendar problem. There is some sort of problem, you know, right? I'm not a developer. I'm not on the inside. But, like, we didn't see this coming. Nobody came in and said, hey, that's a big problem there. We got to talk about this. I think there's accountability problems here, Bless. I don't think it's a calendar problem at this point. I think there's some accountability problems. I mean, the whole mindset was we bring these teams as first parties so they can give us the best first party output. They'll be able to take advantage of the console. We're not taking advantage of the world's most powerful console at 30 frames at all.
That's a really good point.
A lot of people bring up Aaron Greenberg's tweet quite some time ago. Hey, we're in the next generation. It's going to be 60 and 120 from this point forward. People are bringing up the advertising for this. All of the marketing videos were at 60 frames per second. And then you get this news weeks before launch is a big disappointment. And so maybe there's an accountability problem. Maybe, you know, this team chewed off too much, right? We look at last time Deathloop released at 60 frames. Well, now they're trying something new, of course.
That was running the PlayStation 5, though.
Exactly. First-person shooter, but it's a multiplayer game. They're stepping out of their normal elements, right? Maybe this is all too much, right?
Full shared open world stuff if you get into that multiplayer. Yeah. Something that I saw chat wondering about, Mikey, and I don't know. It's been a while, so I don't know if you remember the preview that you guys got to go hands-on with. Do you remember that being in 60, or was that at 30?
It felt 30 to me. It felt slow. But I could be wrong on that one. See, here's the issue that I have is I play all these games at 60 or above. We haven't gone back to 30, and I'm like performance poppy over here. I always choose performance, right? And so the issues that we're going to have now is this acceptable? Will people play this on day one? Or like you said, Greg, are we really going to wait months for performance mode to come out? And where's that audience going to be months from now?
That's the biggest thing. You got to strike now
or else I'm never coming back.
First impressions matter, right? This strikes me a lot as, and I missed it because of Ben's birth, but Back 4 Blood. Where Back 4 Blood drops, right? And you guys played it for a weekend, maybe a little bit more, and then moved on. And it was
over. That's what this game will be.
And so that's my thing is if you're going to have one chance at a first impression, one chance at that audience, do you really want to be like, all right, we're going to release it without performance mode. And then eventually, like, at that point, don't even do performance mode. Yo, we couldn't make it run in performance mode. We're putting it out. Enjoy it. Because this isn't a games of service, right? They're not promising weeks and or months and months in content and all this jazz.
Yeah, and it's also a multiplayer shooter, right? Like, we talk about it being open world and all these things, but for a multiplayer shooter, I want a performance mode. Like, I don't want to play that in a fidelity mode. I know it's not competitive or whatever, but with first-person shooter gameplay, I feel like that's one of the genres that's going to benefit the most from having that performance, right? Having that extra smoothness in how it runs. And to your point, right, I think the first impressions matter. If you're not going to have this stuff at launch, and that is part of your vision for the game, you got to delay the launch.
This game has had a lot of bad first impressions.
Including this one. I left this one off. But January 16th, ONS Good on Polygon reported, Redfall hosts will advance their campaign story, correct, but not multiplayer.
We talked a lot about that on XCast.
I wanted to put that out there because it's Paris a couple of things.
And this is another one. Paris. This game has had a lot of problems with first impressions. From the moment it was shown to the questions of what is this game to then finding out always online, multiplayer issues with progression. Now here we are, like, this game has just continued to just look mid and act mid. And it's coming from a world-class developer, which is the saddest part about that, right?
Yeah.
And so we'll talk
cool
a lot
idea,
more.
Cool idea, too.
Yeah, cool idea. Yeah, we'll talk a lot more about it on the X-Cast. And it's going to be really exciting to hear, Paris. And you know Gary's going to be very uptight about this because, you know, Gary wants nothing but performance mode. He wants 60+. Mm-hmm. He expects 60+. So we'll talk a lot about this on X-Cast. And, of course, if you're an Xbox fan, your eyes now turn to one big release, Starfield. Are we going to be stuck at 30 frames on Starfield? Is that going to be a major problem? So be ready.
Be ready for the Kinda Funny XCast live recording today on patreon.com/kindoffunny at 3:15 Pacific time. Of course, no ads over there. Watch it. Be in the chat. Be live. Participate in the show. And if you can't do that on Patreon and get it ad-free and get all the bonus content, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames tomorrow on podcast services around the globe.
Hell yeah. A couple more tidbits, right? Starfield better not be 30 FPS. I'll be so upset if that game is 30 FPS. I'm getting a little bit worried, but I'm holding out hope. I'm like, yo, if they announce that game is 30 FPS at launch, oh, I'm going to be so upset. But that's one. Another tidbit, Barrett brought it up earlier, but Jeff Grubb's poll asking, do you play games on performance mode or quality mode? Out of over 5,000 votes on that poll, 85.9% of people currently say performance mode, whereas 14.1% say quality mode. And of course, you're talking about Jeff Grubb's audience who follows him. That's probably a more hardcore video game audience. But that is speaking to the hardcore, right? Like, the hardcore is kind of the heart of where your audience is at. And so, yeah, if the hardcore is speaking and they are like, hey, performance mode is where it's at, 85% of us play performance mode. That's huge. And for me, as somebody who it's so hard for me to go back, right? So whenever I boot up fidelity mode or quality mode on games nowadays, it just doesn't feel the same, right? Now it looks a bit ugly to me.
Yeah.
The idea of playing Redfall in quality, and this doesn't appeal to me.
I know we've gone around, but even when we were mid-conversation on this, right before we brought Mike on, we'd already been talking a while. Somebody popped up in the chat is like, they shouldn't delay it. If it's content complete, release it. I don't care that much about the frames per second. I'm like, to be clear, I'm not saying this is the reason to delay. I'm saying there's all these different tiddlywinks where this is the straw. Like, it's the frames per second. It's the host-only progression. It's the fact that you have to always be online. Like, there's enough going on here of, like, don't be making these promises of things you're going to fix later on, like, because you're not going to have an audience later on. It's just not going to matter.
Story number two. A new state of play is coming, all about Final Fantasy 16. This is coming directly from...
This game has been criminally under-talked about, so I'm glad.
I'm glad finally somebody's putting out a trailer for Final Fantasy 16. This is from the PlayStation blog. From the moment Final Fantasy 16 debuted in our 2020 PlayStation 5 showcase, fans around the world have eagerly awaited details on the game's dark fantasy setting, the powerful icons and the dominance who house them, and the flashy battle system teased in those early trailers. We're happy to announce this week's State of Play. We'll dive into all this and more. So tune in live on Twitch or YouTube April 13th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Then get ready for Final Fantasy 16's PS5 launch on June 22nd.
Is this active combat or are they going back to turn-based?
It's active. 16, yeah. No, it's so active that Michael Higham on Gamescast compared it to Devil May Cry. And he was hot on the combat.
I wasn't there that day.
Yeah, no, the combat is going to be very actiony, and that very much appeals to me. But Greg, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your hype levels for this state of play?
Why'd you drop the question that way? Like, for the state of play, thank you so much. I meant to ask Mike when he was here, so I had to text him to bring him my coffee. The state of play itself, like, I'm not. I want to be very clear. It's gone already. But somebody who said in there on the chat, I think from YouTube or maybe it was Twitch, was like, I'm not even a Final Fantasy jabroni, and I'm so hyped for Final Fantasy 16. Final Fantasy 16, I'm like an 8, maybe a 9, where I'm like, damn, everything they said sounds cool as the non-Final Fantasy guy, right? Final Fantasy 7 Remake being the only one I've actually completed that I actually enjoyed. This looks cool. The Game of Thrones aspect, cool. The combat, cool. Like, I'm down to see what this world... Let's go, blah, blah, blah. But, like, when they announced this and it was like, all right, anything else? No, just 20 minutes. It's like, I sent the one, the only, Barrett Courtney, a tweet from Ethan Gatch over there at Kotaku. Honestly, have no idea what more I would want to know about this game at this point. Honestly, you've done it. You've sold it. I'm fine. And I understand, of course, every time you show something for a game, it's somebody's first time seeing that game. It's somebody's first delve into that world. We're lucky and privileged to be able to do this 24/7, see everything to some degree, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm not offended it exists, but it's like, I was talking to Tim, like, are we going to do a live react to this? And we looked at the calendar, and it's like, oh, no, we have PS I Love You, and we have the Mario Brothers review, and it's like, we could juggle them, it's like, is it worth doing that for us to sit here and be like, Final Fantasy still looks cool, can't wait for Final Fantasy, like, I'll probably watch it later, you know what I mean? But maybe not even, because if at that point I'm in, I'm ready to go.
And you have to imagine from a marketing perspective, right, of like these plans are probably put in place like ways ahead, right? Especially for something like a state of play. So I wonder, like, did they even know how hyped people would be for Final Fantasy 16 by this point, right?
I mean,
and selling the Greg Millers of the world already on the game.
It's that thing where, again, I think for so many people, this is a different look. You know, I don't think they had a close personal friend, Michael Higham, you know, go do it, sit down next to them and rant for an hour about how great it was. Like, that's you know, you got to take these marketing opportunities. I think marketing, you don't have to worry about it. But.
And that's the thing is Final Fantasy is one of the most popular just video game franchises on the planet, right? And so there's going to be so many people that are super hyped for the state of play and are super hyped to see 20 minutes of gameplay. Like, I'm sure for that rings. So, like, it's so exciting for so many people. And for me, I'm looking forward to the state of play. I'm probably gonna watch it even though we're not gonna do a live reacts to it. But yeah, it's not like I'm a 10 excited for the state of play. Yeah. I'm probably a 10 excited for the game.
Yeah, though. Right. The game. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Let's go.
The game sounds dope. The game looks dope. Everything we've seen in terms of marketing from the game looks awesome. But yeah, I've seen what I've needed to see. But I'm sure there are way more hardcore Final Fantasy fans out there that are like, oh, let's fucking go. And I think for PlayStation, they're treating this almost like a PlayStation Studios first party game, because you're looking down the barrel of this year and you got Spider-Man 2 coming out in the fall, and that's pretty much it for what we have announced from PlayStation Studios, and that might be it for PlayStation Studios, who knows. And so I think for them, PlayStation's probably like, hey, we need to represent more games as or to the exclusive console slate for the year. And I think Final Fantasy 16, of course, being one of the biggest third-party games you have coming to the platform and being an exclusive that you've struck a deal with, yeah, like, own that. Give it its own state of play. Hype up your audience for it. I think state of play is becoming this thing where now if you put state of play next to a thing, the PlayStation audience is going to, a portion of this PlayStation audience is going to automatically tune into it because they view it as PlayStation's direct. And yeah. So, yeah, I think you are ushering in your audience to this big new game that you want everybody to be excited for. And so I'm all about it. And I think for a big RPG like this, there is still so much you can talk about. I personally, sure. I'm like, cool, I'm good. I know I'm going to play it, but you can still talk about what's going on in the story. You can still talk about what's going on in the world. You can, we've heard Michael Hyam talk about the combat. I'm not sure how much of the combat we've actually seen broken down. So I'm sure there's plenty there you can talk about as well. Maybe there's surprises from characters that we know or surprise. We might get teases. Maybe the Cid we've seen in the party isn't the only Cid. Maybe we're getting five more Cids in the game. Who knows? But I'm sure there's plenty of things you can tease and talk about. So I look forward to that.
I have more information for you over on the Yelp page for Creator Burger.
Oh, no.
They are listed as temporary closed, scheduled to reopen on May 31st, 2023.
That's even a feels long like a place close.
I have messaged the business on Yelp as well.
Yeah, so is that like the end of their fiscal year? Like, is that like when GameStop has a date for like December 31st for a game?
I mean, no, they have not responded on Instagram chats yet, but I'll get back.
That's a long close.
Maybe they just quietly close it down. Bless again, our theory that you can go deep dive into on the Next Gen Podcast on Patreon.com/kindoffunny is that maybe Creator Burger is like a testing bed for a bigger chain
corporation
to be doing, robot employees to not pay people.
Is that bigger corporation? Does it rhyme with Sick Ronald's?
Sick Ron.
Lick. Never mind. Never mind. I got nothing. I tried my
lick
best.
Bonald's, you know what I'm saying?
Lick Bonald's. Is it McDonald's? Do you think? You think Creator Burger is owned by McDonald's?
No.
No. Also, I'm gonna need you to edit that out just in case. Allegedly coming after me.
Allegedly.
If you want to support Kind of Funny Games, you can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over there, we got exclusive content like new episodes of Kind of Feudy, like the Next Gen Podcast, and more. You can go over there and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kind of Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
Speaking of big new trailers, story number three, Tears of the Kingdom is getting one more 3-minute long trailer. This comes from at Nintendo of America on Twitter, where they tweeted out this morning, join us on April 13th at 7 a.m. Pacific time to watch the final pre-launch trailer for The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom live streamed on our YouTube channel. The trailer will be roughly 3 minutes long. Does this excite you more than Final Fantasy 16?
Same. It's the same. Where I'm just like, I want to know little to nothing about these games. I'm in. You've done your job. Let's go. But again, Zelda has been a different one. And 3 minutes isn't outrageous. And I think it'll probably, if I was guessing right, it's going to be more in the vein of like an actual trailer rather than the giant demo we got, right? So it would be maybe a few more hints at stories. It's 3 minutes long. You figure Barrett will break it down into a 3-hour-long video about what this thing on the wall meant.
And exactly. That way. Yeah, this is what Zelda is up to in this portion of the game. Oh, man, is this future Zelda? Is this past Zelda? Is this dead Zelda? This is Zelda's reanimated corpse. Dead Zelda would be the name of a great band. This seems cool. I love the fact that we've gotten not that much info
little
on this game.
From this one, yeah.
Even the demo we saw in the last Nintendo Direct, that felt like They're showing us a good peek inside, but it didn't feel like a lot, right? Like, okay, cool, we can fuse weapons. All right, cool, these are some of our powers. And that's it. Like, that's all they're going to show us. And I think, yeah, this 3-minute trailer, I got to imagine it's going to be more like narrative type trailer.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is going to be the hype Breath of the Wild one.
Exactly. That, like, give me Zelda crying.
Zelda yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll see the champions.
And this time we'll see Zelda die and, you know, the Tears of the Kingdom will start, you know?
Do you think the Tears of the Kingdom, is that like everybody's crying over Zelda's death? Or do you
think... and that's part of my theory, is that the reason why they didn't stream the reveal of the name of the game in the UK because it happened on the day that the Queen died was because of the more deeper meaning of what the game is about, which is dead royalty.
Oh, shit.
But the Nintendo doesn't know how the internet works, so people in the UK could still watch the stream somewhere else. I don't know, man. They're so weird.
Yeah, they're doing it out of respect. Greg, what would you say is the plan for this one? Do we talk about this on? Do we live react on Games Daily tomorrow? This is probably more of a Tim question because he's with me tomorrow. But like, do we show up at 7 a.m.
The question is if you all want to show up at 7 a.m. You know.
Well, I was thinking maybe a work from home situation at 7 a.m.
Possible. Yeah, you could do that.
I got my setup at home.
Yeah,
he does have a setup at home.
It could just be an easy combination, right? Where it's only 3 minutes long, so why not? Yeah, just do it during Games Daily. Nobody watches it until Games Daily.
And then get everybody on set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Tune in to Games Daily tomorrow to see our reaction to this trailer.
I'm excited. An audio listener will narrate it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
All right, Zelda's looking
down. Zelda's crying. Dead. Oh, now she's dead. Oh,
it's
no,
dead Zelda.
Dead
Zelda!
Oh, that's a lot of stabs into Zelda. Oh, is that a gun? Oh, God, Dan, is that a gun?
Max Payne is here.
Oh, Lord. It's slow motion. Story number 4. PlayStation may have finally stopped sending thank you for your purchase emails for PS Plus games. This is from Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. Thank God.
Did I get hacked?
I was like, oh man, did I accidentally buy a thing? It appears that Sony may have finally stopped sending automated purchase confirmation emails each time a player claims a PS Plus game. For years now, players have been receiving an email titled, quote, thank you for your purchase, end quote, every time they claim one of their monthly free games from PS Plus, now known as PS Plus Essential. The wording of the emails regularly confuses and worries players because it implies that they spent money on the game rather than simply claiming it as part of their subscription. Since not everyone checks their emails frequently, some get the message later in the day or week, forgot they claimed their PS Plus games, and worry that their account has been hacked or is buying games they didn't want. That sounds so specific, and I want to say that Chris Scolian experienced this himself. However, as spotted by PlayStation Lifestyle, a number of Reddit threads have started to appear from players suggesting the practice may have finally stopped. One thread reads, quote, so each month, after I added the monthly essential games to my library and downloaded them, I checked my email afterwards and got a thank you for your purchase email for each of those games purchased. Except, I didn't get any email like that this month after claiming Sackboy and the other two. I know it's a silly question, but I found it odd, so I just wanted to check if it happened to anyone else. Then another thread reads, I received dozens and dozens of these emails for every single free DLC I download, while for the latest games, this month's Essential, I haven't received any emails. Tried to download a game from PS Plus Extra and nothing. Both threads received numerous responses from players claiming that they didn't get their emails either. VGC claimed this month's free PS Plus games yesterday and has yet to receive any purchase confirmation emails for them. We did it.
Congratulations. You know what I mean?
Thank God.
We don't have to worry about this anymore. And luckily, Janet never had to, since she doesn't redeem her games.
Can you believe that?
She's outrageous.
She didn't even know there was a problem.
I know.
She's like, you guys receive emails for those? That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, somebody's got to set her straight.
I'm glad somebody at PlayStation finally noticed. Do you think Shu, like, subscribed to PS Plus Essential?
What the fuck is all this
and
shit?
And was like, why am I getting emails? I didn't buy anything. Jim, did you know about this?
It's just this Herman, how well things are going for PlayStation, that they're able to finally start working through the backlog of other problems. Oh, yeah. Another, not in this minutia.
Eventually, we'll get themes again.
No.
Not today, no. But one day.
Remember those?
Yeah, I miss them. A lot.
Remember all the shitty, like, 99-cent ones that were just, like, naked ladies or whatever and stuff?
No.
Yeah.
Wait.
Anime.
Why do you know about those?
Oh, I tweeted about them all the time because they were ridiculous.
Tweeted about them.
Tim wouldn't let me buy them. Don't worry. He checks my expenses.
Wait, you would expend this stuff to the company?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to make content about it.
All right. Fair enough.
What's your content? Just tweeting about
it? Some screenshots. They're still up. Go look at the garbage themes out there on PlayStation 4.
Speaking of PS Plus, story number 5, PS Plus Extra games for April have been announced. Your PS Plus Extra April lineup looks like this. You're getting Kena, Bridge of Spirits, Doom Eternal, Riders Republic, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, and The Old Blood, Slay the Spire, Monster Boy, The Evil Within, Bassmaster Fishing, Paradise Bassmaster. Killer. You're a big Bassmaster fan?
Nah, it's a Ghostbusters 2 reference there.
And then Sackboy. And then for PS Plus Premium, you're getting Doom for the PS4, Doom 2, and these are the, of course, the classic versions, right? So Doom, Doom 2, Doom 64, Doom 3, and then Dishonored Definitive Edition.
It's a PS4 game! Why is it on the fucking Premium?
Listen, if you just...
It's a Definitive Edition.
If you close your eyes...
I get it, Dishonored 1, technically a PS3 game, but that is the PS4 remaster. I don't know,
if you close your eyes to where it says Definitive Edition, it just says Dishonored.
You see that these are, you know, this is Doom from the PlayStation 4, right? So it is like the Doom original version that was on PlayStation 4, Barrett. So just, it doesn't... Don't worry about where it came from, Barrett. Just worry that you're playing it for free on PlayStation Plus because you pay for it.
PlayStation knows the rules, Barrett. This is a really great lineup.
Of course.
For, PS Plus Extra. Kena, Bridge of Spirits is a game that... Like, we don't
talk
about
really love.
Some people really love. Some people thought it was okay, right? It's a game that we don't talk about a lot, I think, just for that reason, right? But it's a game that I look back at with such fondness for how beautiful that game is and for, like, how brutal the combat is at times, but then also how fun it is.
Sure.
I had a lot of fun with Kena: Bridge of Spirits. And if you're somebody who hasn't gotten to check it out yet, I would say if it looks interesting to you, 1,000% pick it up and play it.
Of course
it's
not,
a very
yeah.
good video
it's
game.
It's part of the, you know, PlayStation Plus lineup. Same thing with, like, you know, Slay the Spire. How many times has that game been critically acclaimed? If you've never played it, it's out there. Get into it. Of course, Sackboy's Big Adventure, a game that, you know, y'all love, love, love.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Fantastic video game. One of the best of the launch lineup.
A little overblown by the new class of PS I Love
You. You posted a thing about, like, the player base, right? Like, Sackboy's seeing a lot of players right now.
I did. Wait, where was it?
Was that in the PS I Love You Slack?
Yeah, that was on the PS I Love You Slack. I was looking at something. What the fuck? What was that? Yeah, it was like...
Sackboy is the hidden gem of the PlayStation
launch lineup. I was on PS... I was on, of course, as I always am, I was looking at my trophies. So I was over on my PSN profile on psnprofiles.com. And when you're on psnprofiles.com's homepage, because I was checking to see if a game I maybe not reviewing, if the trophies were up there yet, I looked down at popular games this week. Resident Evil 4 with 5,600 players. And then right underneath it, the second place game, Sackboy: A Big Adventure with 2,700 players.
Let's fucking
underneath
go.
That, Hogwarts Legacy. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Sackboy overtook Hogwarts Legacy. Let's fucking go. Finally, Justice. Justice for to get this off the screen, Barry. Justice for Sackboy: Big Adventure.
Hey, man, people know now. People know.
Rise Republic also pretty fun. Wolfenstein 2 is a must-play first-person shooter campaign.
Must play.
Such a fun one.
Give us a play that game if you haven't, so that they see the numbers and are like, man, we should probably finally make a sequel to this.
Yeah. Paradise Killer. Also a great detective indie game where you're going through trying to figure out who the Paradise Killer is. And then Bassmaster Fishing. The game where you go fish.
Who doesn't like fishing? Gary Whitta's going to come out and talk about that. I'm sure he played them. He loves those fishing games. This might even have been the one he loved.
Story number 6. Our final news story for the day. THQ Nordic community manager denies claims that AEW Fight Forever is basically ready. This is Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. THQ Nordic's global senior community manager has shot down claims that AEW Fight Forever is essentially complete. Last month, AEW president Tony Khan claimed that the game was finished during a press conference following the company's AEW Revolution pay-per-view event. Quote, I can't say the exact release date, Khan said at the time, as reported by Wrestling Inc. There's a lot of things that go into that, and I don't want to step on anybody with that. It is coming very soon. The game is finished, end quote. However, following another claim that the game was ready, THQ's Per Hollenbo, known as Zydi Online,
Zydi,
stated that this wasn't the case. After being shown a tweet saying, quote, the AEW Fight Forever video game is basically ready, Hollenbo replied, quote, I mean, if you want an unfinished game, sure, we could release now. He added, quote, the game is doing really well and is getting there, but not 100% yet. So yeah, just another rumor on Twitter, I fear, end quote. When followers started to wonder why some were claiming it was ready, Hollenbo explained, there are tons of things to take into consideration when developing a game. Submission, QA, localization, ratings, optimization, polish, coding, and much more. So even if a game looks finished to some people, if it missed one of those steps, it isn't finished or ready to release, end quote. AEW Fight Forever's release date has been a constant unknown. In June last year, AEW star Kenny Omega said he'd hoped the game was on schedule to release in 2022. When this was clearly no longer possible, the game was then set for release in February 2023. That's the end of the article, but I would like to point out that we are a couple months past February 2023.
I think people knew that. I think people understood that.
Greg, when are we going to get AEW Fight Forever?
When it's ready. You know, I don't think you can. This is a funny story, of course. I don't think it's outrageous, right? I think if we were to ask Triple H, anything about the video game side of WWE business, he'd be like, I don't fucking, you know what I mean? So I don't think Tony Khan at the top of AEW worrying about the programming and every other merchandising deal and this Wembley Stadium thing, that like, there's enough going on in his world that I doubt he knows the ins and outs of video games. So yeah, you know, like, and I mean, more than anything, honestly, my takeaway from this story is to applaud the THQ Nordic community manager. Like, what a great, honest response.
Yep.
Of just like, no, it is not ready. We understand. And not even be like a dick about it, right? Of like, there's a million things, and like, clearly some suit who's doing this thing doesn't necessarily know the ins and outs and blah, blah, blah. All that aside, when do you think you get AEW? I think when it's ready, which I know is never the answer anybody wants, but it's the true answer. And I think, you know, you can't understate what a Herculean effort this is. You know what I mean? Like, this is the team, obviously, that left the WWE games after having been there forever, right? We're talking about Yuke's. Got with AEW and are starting from the ground up, from the, you know, from having nothing, right? Making this game, trying to capture what a modern No Mercy would be, a WrestleMania 2000 and NWO, WCW Revenge would be in this day and age, right? To set off on that and start on that and do it after having done countless 2K simulation games, right? And even with the old THQ for what, you know, all the other different games, Raw, SmackDown, all the Raw versus SmackDown and all that jazz. Like, this is a big fucking move, and it's a big fucking move for Yuke's. It is a big fucking move for AEW to do this and never have had a video game before and have Kenny Omega really seemingly be the shepherd of all this, who we know Kenny Omega loves video games like we love video games. He works with, you know, Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, a lot on and they talk about video games and they jaw about it and they do up, up, down, down stuff. Like, there's so much in this that it's one of those you got to get it right. Because with all due respect to them, I could foresee this being their only video game, yeah. Right? Like, AEW is a small promotion. In the grand scheme of things, they are quite large, but you know what I mean? They're not WWE. They're not this, you know, multi-gazillion dollar thing, and who knows what will happen in the future. But if AEW is going to maintain the size they are now, are they going to be able to commit over and over again? This is definitely not going to be an annualized thing.
Yeah.
Maybe every few years we're able to get another one, but if you're only going to be able to theoretically maybe put out a game once, fucking make it the best game you can and like take your time and do it right.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about it definitely not being an annualized thing, right? Like, yeah. That makes me look at the UFC games, which aren't annualized, right? You get a UFC game once every few years, and that is UFC, a company with a lot of money, right? A company with a lot of resources, but video game development is difficult. Video game development takes a lot of resources, and for WWE, which is this, like, gigantic corporation that has all this money, even annualizing WWE isn't the most smooth thing in the world, right? Yeah, we've seen that come through. Sure. We saw WWE 2K20 be the one that came out and was terrible in terms of bugs and glitches and not being optimized and all these things, and now they're finding a flow, but we're back to the thing of annualized games where 2K23 for WWE is basically 2K22, right? With an updated roster and some polishing here and there. But yeah, I definitely, when I look at AEW Fight Forever, I definitely think this is one of those ones where it's, all right, you got your one shot now, and like, we'll see how this does. I expect the next game isn't even going to be like a year. I think it's going to be AEW Fight Forever 2, maybe, if that comes out, right? Yeah. And that's going to be years and years from now. But yeah, like, I'm looking forward to this game. I had a guess, I would say fall, because I think you'd want to get away from 2K.
I would hope, right? That would be the hope, and you know, with the timetables they've talked about before, yeah, like, okay, hopefully it would be this. Then there was that thing where it went up on Amazon and it looked like it was going to be February. And that, even for Tony Khan, not knowing much about video games, to say it's complete, and for the community manager to be like, look, listen, it can look complete, but there's all submission, QA, localizations, right? Like, that isn't building as much, right? That is bug squashing and polishing, yeah, and finalizing.
And we've seen the gameplay trailers. Like, they've already, yeah, kickstarted the marketing on this thing. Like, the pre-orders, I believe, are available on Amazon. This feels like something that they're, I guess, knocking on the door of getting it out the door, right? Yeah. Like, you're getting there in terms of wanting to actually.
I'm incredibly excited for it. I love Yuke's games and what they've done in the past, and especially their way back. You know what I mean? So, whatever this is going to end up being, I'm excited to see what it turns out to be.
Exactly. Craig, I can't wait for AEW Fight Forever. But AEW Fight Forever's release is an unknown. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every week.
Out today, we got Ghostwire Tokyo for Xbox Series X and S, Ghostwire Arena of the Dead Early Access for PC, Murderous Muses for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X, War Tales for PC, Pokemon Stadium for Switch. I booted that up last night, and let me tell you, I miss Pokemon Stadium. Such a good game. Wild Frost for PC and Switch, Calibur for PC, Rusted Moss for PC, and then Plantera 2, Golden Acorn for PC.
If I may, real quick, I see in the chat, Panda Finn screaming, Snowbike Mike, your ass is grass and I'm the lawnmower. I will have my revenge. Pandafin, of course, is referring to KFW, Kinda Funny Wrestling, which makes its return on Thursday, right after Kinda Funny Games Daily on
Twitch.tv/Kinda
Funny Games. Yep, and YouTube.com/Kinda Funny Games. I can confirm that Pandafin will be on the card. Of course, Pandafin was one of the best friends who got called up to compete on the pay per view, and then Snowbike Mike said he's not ready, pulled him from the card. That pissed off Pandafin. Now we're back. Now, is he ready to fight Snowbike Mike? That is the challenge that has been laid out. I've heard he is not, but I don't have much information on that. We'll see what develops tomorrow on KFW.
Do we have any information on the Metacricket?
Metacricket still active with the Federation?
Oh, really? A lot of people have been thinking he's dead, you know?
Well, Cricket's his Twitter account's been quiet, but of course he has, you know, he is still participating in the dark matches. He beat Khalif.
He did make a Hive account.
Oh, good to know. I didn't know that.
That's Hive excellent. Was popping off like 6 months ago, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember when we all ran there being terrified.
Yeah.
Now, KFW, is that a live product? Is that something
that is live? But you get it later, of course. Remember, if you didn't catch the last KFW, it was during the Spare Bedroom launch stream. It is available as a breakout on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. And a whole bunch of shit did happen that you need to get caught up on. Remember, of course, Cisco is the up, up, down, down champion. Joey introduced her own title, the JNW title that Andrea won. Mm. Hideo Kojima won the Kinda Funny World Championship. And then, most importantly, it was going to be canceled. The entire thing was going to be canceled by Tim, but Phil Spencer fought him in a winner-take-all match, and Phil Spencer now owns KFW.
Oh. Thank you, Phil. New dates for you. Ravenlock launches May 4th for Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and PC. And it's also day one on Game Pass. This one looks a bit interesting. This one was, I believe, revealed at Xbox's E3 last year. Has like a cool voxel style art style and has like this fantasy action gameplay premise to it. Looks interesting, and that now has a release date, May 4th. Endless Dungeon has been delayed to October 19th, 2023. Fantavision 2020X comes to Steam on April 28th. Far World Pioneers launches May 30th for Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, and PC. Also launches on Game Pass day one. Right now, if you're a video watcher, Barrett has pulled up image or a video of Ravenlock. THQ Nordic and Frozenbyte announced Trine 5, A Clockwork Conspiracy, and is coming this summer to PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Switch. Blooming Business Casino will launch on May 23rd, 2023 for Steam and PC. And then Aliens Fireteam Elite debuts on Nintendo Switch on April 26th. We have a deal of the day for you. Devolver Digital tweeted this out this morning. The super cool Inscription card pack is now available on the Devolver Digital merch shop. All packs contain the same 12 cards, 8 regular and 4 hologram printed on 350 GM stock. Woo! Just for fun, not an actual card game. Oh. I added this to my cart this morning. I immediately clicked over to merch.devolverdigital.com, added it to my cart. I didn't press buy because I had to stop myself. I'm not a Snowbike Mike where I do everything on impulse, where I spend money on impulse. Mm-mm. I was like, I got to sit on it for a little bit. I love Inscription. I love the idea of an Inscription physical
What are you going to do with it, though? You're going to get it. You're going to look at it and be like, that's cool, and put it on a shelf and it collects dust.
1,000%, which is why I didn't click buy. I'm still considering it, but I'm taking my time.
I appreciate that.
Taking my time before I hit buy. But it looks really cool. If you're an Inscription fan and if you want to have these cards, definitely click over to Devolver's Twitter to check them out. We do have some reader mail for you, of course.
Reader mail!
You can write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your questions read on the show, just like J-Maz did. J-Maz writes in and says, I'm a big sports fan, and with the NBA season coming to a close, there have been a lot of discussions about the regular season awards. I thought it would be fun to use some of those awards for the gaming industry. Things like MVP, Most Improved, Rookie of the Year, etc. What game, character, etc. would win your awards? Here is my thought on what/who I would have win the awards and some awards for y'all to consider. P.S. Y'all can set your own rules in regards to timeline, but since games take a long time to develop and I don't have the ability to only play games released within the calendar year, I am being very generous with my rules. We appreciate it, J-Maz. So J-Maz's awards go like this. Rookie of the Year, he gave to the Steam Deck. Most Improved Player, he gave to Housemarque and SlowClap.
/SlowClap. He couldn't make a choice, I think.
Yeah. Defensive Player of the Year, he gave to Resident Evil franchise for defending Capcom's best remake over Bluepoint. For Sixth Man, he gave it to video game adaptations for Sonic, Mario, The Last of Us.
Got it.
Coach of the Year, he gave to Jeff Keighley. And then for MVP, he gave to Hidetaka Miyazaki, of course, from Software there. Let's start with Rookie of the Year. I guess we can be loose with our rules because, of course, the awards he's given out here are very loose in terms of timeline. Because Returnal came out in, 2021? It's 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the idea, but
should we limit it to a year? To last year?
Yeah, you'd think so. But then again, we're repeating all the DICE Awards and every other award show that's happened since then, right? Like, I don't know.
DICE Awards doesn't have Rookie of the Year.
It doesn't. Debut games. I mean, game awards, right, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Defensive Player of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year, of course, is Xbox. Just defending this Activision Blizzard deal at every chance they can, as every government and organization in the world comes down on them, and they're like, "Nah, we'll give you 10 years of Nintendo. You take this 10-year deal. All right, well, you will." They're out there. They're moving. They got the fast feet, Mike. They're dodging. They're weaving.
See, I was gonna go for Defensive Player of the Year, God of War Ragnarok, or Sony Santa Monica, just for the fact that hey, like y'all came out in 2018, y'all were the MVPs. Can you guys do it again? They came through. They did it again.
Okay.
Right? Sony Santa Monica is still retaining their status in terms of being a quality AAA developer, S tier.
How do you feel about Jeff Keighley's Coach of the Year? He's coaching the industry?
Yeah, that's I don't know how I feel about that.
That's my thing with J-Maz here. J-Maz, you'd made a classic Kind of Funny best friend faux pas, and you wrote in and you didn't show your work. You didn't give me enough rules on how we're doing this thing as this season comes to a close, whatever the hell that means, you know what I mean? And then you didn't defend your picks here. I love Jeff Keighley. Jeff Keighley's killing it, but why are you saying Jeff Keighley's Coach of the Year over insert whoever you want to put, Phil Spencer? I'm just throwing that out there, right? You know, somebody who wanted, it was like Herman Hulse, whoever.
I was gonna even say Sean Murray with No Man's Sky.
Sure, there you go.
Still putting out those updates.
That's a good example. Still looking great. Sixth Man, video game adaptation.
Mike, what is a Sixth Man?
That's your player who isn't a player, right?
A sixth man is a role player, your go-to guy off the bench. So essentially you have your starting five, and then you say, you know what? Greg's tired. Who's replacing him? Your sixth man is the guy you're most confident with, ready to come in and fill that gap.
Okay. All right, I like that.
Devolver Digital.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not, it's not even a slight, but you know, we are, PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo. All right, you know what I mean? You start, EA, what are they up to? Maybe we hate them, maybe we don't. You know what I mean? But Devolver, you know, is going to be consistent. Devolver is going to put out good shit to keep you fed throughout the year, regardless of the AAA releases.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's my thing is, I think between the AAA releases, I know I can always go to a Devolver game and probably have a good time, right? Yeah. And I think for some people, that might be Annapurna. That might be their sixth
game. Sure, of course, yeah.
Right, the idea of...
But Annapurna, I'm going to say this because I love their games, artsy fartsy. So sometimes, what the hell is this visual novel? Other times, well, I'm crying in my soup.
For sure.
Why am I eating soup while I play this game? I don't like soup. Who knows?
Most improved player. I'll probably give it a slow clap for Sifu. Because I played the previous game.
Absolver?
I played Absolver, yeah. And I really wanted to like Absolver, but I just didn't like Absolver.
Okay.
So, and Sifu fucking loved. Like, okay. That's an improvement. That's like a 0 to 100 improvement.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I'm giving them most improved player for
See,
sure.
See, MVP now, Miyazaki, of course, not going to talk shit or whatever, but like there I think you could make an argument for a Jeff Keighley. Jeff Keighley's out there making everybody look good, getting everybody over, making events out of nothing. You know, E3's falling apart, he's going to make it better.
I feel that. I think I personally would still give it to Miyazaki.
Of course you would.
Yeah, because listen, Elden Ring. What's better, Elden Ring or the Game Awards? I'm going Elden Ring.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
All right, did we cover all of them? Sixth Man? Most improved. Rookie of the Year, I think, is
I like
the one
Steam
we
Deck.
Have. You like Steam Deck for Rookie of the Year?
Yeah. Again.
Rookie just means like it's your first year out here, right? Debut.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we could go into the other games that are like, you know, first years or first games from
See,
Deck.
See, who's the developer of Stray? I know we hated on Stray, but like no, we didn't even hate on Stray, right? Stray was just fine to us. But I think
Blue 12 Studio.
Speak for yourself, Les.
Okay, I'm saying us as in me and Greg, right? Okay. Me and Greg,
the people
were
who matter
like,
on the show.
The people who matter on the show were like, okay. Stray is fine. Stray
I'll just turn
is
everything
fine.
On. These are jokes. See if y'all can turn it all back on. You know,
that's fair.
Kevin.
That's fair. But yeah, no,
taking him with me.
But like, I think that's a great debut. I think coming out and putting out Stray and having it be popular and having it be treated as this PlayStation indie and having the PS Plus spot, like that is a fantastic debut in terms of putting your name out there. And I think when they're putting out their next game, everybody's already going to be paying attention because we're going to go, oh, those are the guys that did Stray. What are they doing now?
Sure.
Now they're making a dog game.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Now you're getting a dog game.
There you have it. Thank you, J-Mass, for writing. I appreciated it, even though Greg wanted to hate on it. I appreciated it, J-Mass.
I didn't hate it. I wanted even it to be Greg better. Wanted to I wanted all to over elevate idea, you, Jay.
Even though he would just want to throw pieces all over at your idea, I'm gonna appreciate it, J-Mass.
J-Mass was lying in a gutter, and I reached out, and I said, do you want to come play basketball with me? You know what I mean?
All right. What's that a reference to?
Oh, what just came out of my head.
Fair enough. I was like, is this a movie?
No,
this what White Men Can't Jump is about? It's been a while since I saw that movie. Before we get to
They're
you're
remaking
wrong,
it, you know.
I know, with Jack Harlow, and I'm so fucking excited because I love Jack Harlow.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, I'll
Have
watch Jack Harlow be Jack Harlow.
It doesn't look great.
Now it's time for a squad up. We got a squad up success story for you.
Hey!
Miguel writes in and says this. Hello, Greg and Bless. Last week, I he said I worked in, but I think he means I wrote in for help on Resistance Burning Skies.
Oh, yeah.
Greg had no faith in the Vita community.
I don't think if that's true.
Okay. I'd like to publicly shame him for not believing in the beloved system.
I don't know if that's what I said.
I'm here to proudly announce that we helped tens of people get the multiplayer trophy. Great job through the best friends who made it possible. Also, just a bit of drama in the Resistance community. Apparently, the Resistance, Killzone, and SOCOM discords are fighting over who deserves a revive. Oh. Currently, Resistance is ahead. Any thoughts? I'll say none of them.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go back to any of them.
Yeah, maybe SOCOM? Maybe.
No, we don't need to go back to SOCOM. Hollering SOCOM. You go play Rainbow Six and all that jazz. You're fine.
Best thing is, I think it would renew a SOCOM and make it more Rainbow Six-like. Yeah. But Killzone, Resistance,
Did you play Unit 13 on your Vita? No, you didn't. So that's on you, you know?
Was that a SOCOM game, Unit 13?
It was from Zipper, but it wasn't exactly a SOCOM, but it was very similar.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe.
Real quick, sorry. Deadhead64 on chat on Twitch chat says, Unit 13 wasn't good. Neither was SOCOM.
He said it. I didn't say shit. I've never played SOCOM. I can't judge, but apparently Greg did. Impossibilium writes in and says, Sackboy was on PS Plus Essential. It might be why the player numbers were up. Well, I think we knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, that's still impressive.
I was talking a lot of shit about that game, so the fact that it was like there, I was like, damn, I'm crushing out there.
And then Portland Kevin says, regarding the Bassmaster reference to Dan Aykroyd and Ghostbusters 2 that Greg mentioned, Greg was likely actually thinking of the classic Dan Aykroyd SNL sketch, the Bass-O-Matic 4000. If it was in fact
I'm gonna
in
need
Ghostbusters
you to shut
2.
Up. I'm going to need you to shut up. Right. I'm going to need you to shut up. Portland Kevin, you are one of the dumbest motherfuckers I've ever met. One me, Barrett. Give me the one right
Give
now,
the one.
Barrett.
He needs the one.
I am not referring to the Dan Aykroyd SNL skit, you dumb motherfucker. I am referring to when Bill Murray, Dr. Peter Venkman, shows up at the museum and walks in to meet Dana Barrett and see Vigo for the first time. He doesn't know that yet. And the security guard goes, Dr. Venkman, World of the Psychic. He's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, it's one of my favorite TV shows. You're one of my two favorite TV shows. He's like, oh, yeah. And they talk for a real split second, casual conversation. And he goes, what's the other one? And the security guard goes, Bassmasters. And Venkman looks creeped out and walks away. So, Portland Kevin, what I need you to do is stop whatever the fuck you're doing right now, all right? Clearly, it's jack shit as you sit there. I don't care if you're at work. Walk into your boss right now, stick your finger down your throat, puke on the fucking desk and say you're sick. Go home and watch Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, and Ghostbusters Afterlife. And if you ever come at me again, expecting me not to get a Ghostbusters reference wrong. And, I mean, I would never go out and say I'm the biggest SNL fan of all time, but I will let you know, before everything got fucked up, and they used to run SNLs nonstop on Comedy Central, and I would watch that at Grandma Miller's house all the time. So I'm very, very versed in SNL classics. So and that's the thing. You understand that I was so desperate for Ghostbusters content as a child, I would watch anything with any of the Ghostbusters in it. So again, fuck you, just as hard as I, fuck you as hard as possible for thinking I would get a Ghostbusters reference wrong. But then also fuck you, man, for thinking I wouldn't know classic SNL shit. If I ever see you pull this kind of shit and you're wrong again, it won't be the Portland Kevin, it will be the dead motherfucker Kevin.
Jesus.
Was that too far? Can we say that? Is that allowed?
Know,
is that allowed?
I don't know anymore.
It's his company, so listen. I'll let it slide. Tomorrow's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily are going to be me and Tim. I love, though, that during that rant, you went from angry to kind of excited to explain the Ghostbusters reference.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Then way back to angry.
You know what I mean? I get to talk to Ghostbusters.
I feel like you had to, like, you know.
I've been hankering for a Ghostbusters 2 rewatch, too.
Oh, just do it.
I know.
Do you have to have Tim tell you to do it, or like?
No, I don't mean for content. I just mean, yeah. I haven't watched Ghostbusters 2 in a while.
Hear me out. All right, let's just cancel one day of content. We'll watch it as a company together.
I mean, that's the thing, is like you say that, but we could just do it where we watch it and we record our impressions on Twitch, and there you go. Not like our impressions of the movie, but you know, like it's a watch along.
I'm trying so hard to push for like a work outing, like that doesn't involve work.
Oh,
you know what
sure.
I mean, Mike. You know what I mean? Let's go to a baseball game.
Like,
yeah. You want to go to a baseball game so bad? And the thing about it is, you misunderstand, of course, how it works around here.
Mm-hmm.
We all love fucking off and not doing anything. A team bonding exercise sounds good. Mm-hmm. We used to do that shit at IGN, right? And granted, we all hated each other and everybody quit. But like here, it could be different. We could do it here and we could be a thing. I'm in. Mm-hmm. You want a team bonding at the Giants stadium? I'm in.
But like we have the cameras there is the thing.
No.
No?
Well, I mean, unless you want to like take, it's like, you know, like you want an Instagram or something like for your own personal stuff.
Okay.
Now I can't be held responsible if the Monday afterwards, the Kind of Funny podcast is like,
is all
the
about,
crazy shit that happened at the Giants game.
Oh, that's fair. That's
Mike
fair.
Got kicked by a mule. You know,
that's
like,
fair. What was that doing at the Giants game?
You know, I mean, you have to listen to the show to find out.
All right.
I'm in. I'll plan you a company outing.
Let's go.
We're doing a company outing.
Doing a
Ladies
company
and gentlemen, one day there won't be content, or maybe is one afternoon fine? Like we do
yeah,
the morning and then we
fine.
Fuck
yeah,
off.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's not a baseball game happening at 10 a.m. Or is there? I don't watch baseball. I assume
there's a 10:15 first pitch, Mike, I think.
But an early afternoon one would be out there, a couple beers.
1:15, I think.
You should go to 21st Amendment, get some pickles. Come on.
Let's go. Of course, again, tomorrow's hosts are going to be me and Tim. If you're watching this live right now.
On April 22nd, they're doing Superman cape socks at the Giants Stadium.
All right.
I mean, we're not going. It's a Saturday, so that doesn't work for
us. Oh. Yeah, I'm not doing. I'm gonna spend my spend my Saturday watching baseball.
Hang all these faces on the weekend.
Oh man, I got napping to do on a Saturday. If you're watching this live, remember we're trying to do something new here with YouTube Super Chats on Kind of Funny Games Daily, only on YouTube and the live stream. There's gonna be a 30-minute post show where Snowack Mike comes in to talk to us KFGD hosts about your Super Chat questions. So stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with us before the next Kind of Funny stream starts. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and weekday live right here on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games and Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.
Fuck off, Portland, Kevin!